Welcome to Insight Out, a podcast from Ipsos UU that explores emerging trends, budding innovations, fresh thoughts, and creative ways to get closer to real people in real life. Each episode features thought-provoking conversations showcasing industry-leading thinking from the Ipsos Global Network of Insight Specialists. I'm April Jeffries, and I'm your host of today's episode of Insight Out. Welcome to a very special edition of Inside Out. In the midst of this global COVID-19 pandemic, today we're going to be talking to Colin Strong, the global head of our Behavioral Science Center here at Ipsos, who will offer a BSI perspective on what's happening and what we can be doing. Colin, thank you so much for joining us.
I really just want to get a behavioral science perspective on, you know, this whole coronavirus thing and what we might be up against, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's clearly very difficult times for many of us, and with sort of older relatives and friends and work concerns and financial concerns and so on. But So I think those things are very top of mind for people, clearly. But also, I think as a consumer researcher and social researcher and social scientist, I think these are also, you know, hugely absorbing and engaging and interesting times as well, to try to use our understanding of humans and human behavior to try to make sense of what we're seeing unfolding day by day around us.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that, right? That is unfolding day by day around us. So, well, first of all, let me just start with, you know, you head up our Behavioral Science Center on a global basis. And I would imagine that a lot of what you're seeing just through, you know, from your headset and through the lens of behavior science has some real strong implications, right? Like what comes top of mind for you in terms of what's playing out here that you would expect?
I think the key way in which I see things playing out is really about changing behavior, and I feel that's the key theme which underpins a lot of our thinking around this. In that we talk about behavior change and the way in which the environment is the way in which changing environments create a need to change behavior. You know, we talk about it in terms of the context of some long-term issues like climate and demography and financial deregulation and so on. And the issue with those sorts of areas is that they're relatively long-term, relatively slow. But what we've seen here is a monumental change to our environment. And of course, then people are adapting. People are no longer using the tried and tested routines that come with a more stable, slower changing environment. They're having to grapple with this, the new realities. And in order to do that, they have to draw on a bunch of other parts of themselves to work out what to do and how to do it.
So what do you mean by that, other parts of themselves? What does that mean?
Well, I think sometimes we tend to talk about behavioral science as being very much about perhaps, I don't know, there's lots of sort of talk about system one and system two and our unconscious and versus system one versus our sort of more conscious system two and so on. And I think that's one way of just thinking about and talking about behavior. And perhaps that's useful for environments where things are very stable. Is that a lot more of our behavior is perhaps on the more automatic or more more routinized side of things. But
this is anything but actual, routine, though, right? What we're talking
yeah,
about.
When you no longer have a routine, then you can't, you know, those sorts of, you know, we routines are there as a reflection of the way in which we have become proficient at navigating our environment. You know, Obama famously said, well, I just wear a blue suit or a gray suit because I don't have to think about things. I can just, because I've got so many other things to think about. This is life in regular times, is that we develop these routines and we are able to sort of have proficiency and master the environment which we're in. Clearly, where we are now is those routines have gone out the window.
Yeah. You know,
no longer are they relevant to how we make our decisions about our lives. And so, therefore, we're having to draw on a whole bunch of other things which are, which we were talking about. So things like, for example, our motivations, you know, how do we understand, you know, what are the sort of different things in this environment which are suddenly motivating us? Part of that would be things like identity, you know, what kind of person am I, you know, what our feelings are and how they are motivating us to do certain things. And maybe we're scared and maybe we're anxious. Our ability, things like, you know, how capable we feel of doing something, or whether or not we expect that what we do is actually going to work. Clearly, our physical environment is causing us to fundamentally change our behavior. You know, there's a whole wide range of internal and external mechanisms that go on that shape the way in which we are behaving. And I think that what we need to be doing in behavioral science is really calling out, well, look, what are these sorts of mechanisms that are at play and how do we go about understanding what they are? And importantly, what do we do? If you're a brand in this position, then you really need to understand what is going on and where consumers' minds are at in order to work out what you should be doing.
Yeah. So that was my next question for you. Like, how does this affect brands per se? And do you have some examples just from a behavioral science perspective of brands that have done really well in situations like this and brands that have not, and why?
This is very early, right? So we're in the initial stage of this where we're still in a state of shock and we're having to rapidly react to a sort of very fast changing environment. But people look for things they know in times like these, and they offer some sort of sense of comfort, and what they're trying to do is kind of maintain a sense of normalcy. And I think that's a really good point. It's a sense of, look, there's a lot of things at which we're all feeling very vulnerable and uncertain about, and in some senses what brands can be doing here is being sensitive to the psychology of consumers and really providing a sense of solidity and reassurance and continuity as much as possible. And of course, you know, many brands are doing pro-social things like donating money for hunger relief and food insecurity, for example, and others are relaxing their terms and conditions of trade and so on. So in a sense, it's I think brands are intuitively responding to this rapidly changing situation, often in quite positive ways.
So the importance of understanding that human, you know, I guess, regardless of what happens, right, the common denominator is our humanness, right? So there's some things it sounds like, you know, makes perfect sense to focus on or to expect in a situation like this.
Yeah, I think we're all looking for some consistency and normality and reliability and familiarity, and of course we would be. You know, we're all been cast globally into this very difficult scenario, and I think that the impulse of brands, particularly those brands which are in a stronger position perhaps than others, because obviously many brands are suffering very, very badly right now. that clearly there's a I think many brands are seeing the kind of the importance of responding in a way which is offers some kind of reassurance and guidance. Yeah.
So what's interesting too about your position is that you head up our global practice, right? So, so I'm assuming you are seeing some differences in terms of culture and how that sort of impacts. It's just so odd to me that this is such a global issue, and yet it's not. You know, in our different areas and our different markets, we all will kind of respond differently just based on the cultural aspect. Are you seeing that as it kind of plays out in different countries?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those sorts of cultural differences need to be understood and recognized. And the way in which cultural norms are part of what we look at in terms of trying to understand what sits underneath behavior, what are the different dimensions which are shaping behavior. But at the same time, look, we've got to be a bit careful here not to over-characterize these sorts of things or over-simplify these sorts of things, mm-hmm. is that I think that the media depiction of a lot of, what is called panic buying is perhaps we're, you know, sometimes misinterpreting it. It's a natural and understandable response to go and want to make sure that you've got sufficient food. I think it's entirely understandable. And in actual fact, I think what we see is that all sorts of acts of kindness and generosity and care, which is demonstrated by things like different community groups sort of reaching out to elderly and vulnerable people in the locality to find ways in which and understand ways in which they can help. So on the one hand, you know, these sorts of cultural norms and shared cultural beliefs are really important. But on the other hand, we just can't forget that these are just one of many things which shape our response.
Yeah. So is there something unique about today for this to happen in today's time? I mean, I know that you talk to me a lot about things like knowledge and attitudes, right? And so what's happening today, whether it's, you know, social media or to your point, the media, generally speaking, right? And our attitudes towards it. Is there something specific about this point in time that might drive the way things play out here?
Well, yeah, I think that our psychological response, our psychological mechanisms will change over time. So, for example, right now, we're in this place where we've got external factors fundamentally shaping our response. So something has happened to us and we are reacting to that. So the way in which brands need to talk to their consumers now will be quite different to the way in which brands may want to talk to consumers a little bit later on when people's identity starts becoming more important. You know, what kind of a person am I? You know, who am I? Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe their jobs will not be so central to their lives. You know, people will be spending a lot more time with their families and, you know, and there'll be a fundamentally different identity which they which comes more to the fore in that environment. You know, maybe that the emotions will change. And so, you know, maybe we'll go from, at the moment, I think there's a lot of panic and there's a lot of anxiety which is floating around as we go further on down the line. Perhaps you know, there's a sense of there may be, as we get further along, there may be a boredom, there may be shame. We wouldn't wish anybody to have those emotions, and they wouldn't necessarily be emotions which we would want to attribute as being appropriate on others, but you know, people may still feel them. And
right, as a brand, even though maybe that's something you can help with, right, that you can help to turn that around, or at least make people feel better about it as we move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's there's clearly a social responsibility for brands here. But also, I think there's an element whereby if brands want to be part of a people's lives when we come out the other side, they really need to be on the journey with them. They need to be understanding where people are at and by that I mean, well, look, what are the psychological dimensions which are really shaping their behavior at that point in time, being agile to respond to different sorts of needs, and really just making sure that you're right there, because you know what, new routines are being set. You know, we started off at the outset talking about the way in which the routines which we've learned in the past are no longer relevant. Well, yeah, but you know what? We're now learning a new way of being. And of course, you may say that new way of being is not necessarily going to be typical of life again. But well, yes, but new routines will be set. New ways of living will take place. It's going to be some fundamentally different changes to the way in which we are. We will come out of this changed. We are learning new routines, and those new routines will stay with us. And so therefore, as a brand, if you want to be part of those new routines, then you really need to be on that journey with people and understanding how they're changing and responding and helping to facilitate things. Because, you know, we still have needs which need to be met by the services, products and services these brands are offering. And at the same time, these brands are employing people. You know, we need them to stay in business as far as possible. There's a whole bunch of things which are going on, which brands need to really be able to understand and react to, and then work out how they respond in a way which is not only reflecting the needs of the populations which they're operating in, but perhaps helping to set the agenda a little bit as well. And we can see
that's interesting. So when you're back to the whole behavior change thing that we started out with, so is there a way, and maybe I'm asking you to be a magician here, but is there a way from a behavioral science perspective to get a sense for which things might continue on versus which things people are going to want to just go back to the way they used to do it? Is there a way to know that, or to at least get a sense of it?
All of our experience has been over the past, wow, is it really just 2 weeks or 3 weeks? It
feels like a long time.
It feels very, very unpredictable. And the point, in a sense, is that what we really need to be doing is to continue to understand where we're at, and then positively respond at those different points, making some hypotheses about where we're at now and where we seem to be going in that next step. I feel that there's a temptation to try to gaze into a crystal ball, and I think we ought to try to avoid that. I think the issue is more about continuing to be engaged and respond in an intelligent way with good information at your fingertips is the way to go, because this is a fast moving, rapidly changing situation. And I think if you enter it with a view of, okay, these are the stages of how this is going to pan out, well, I think that's probably you're a hostage to fortune there. I think none of us know which direction this is going to go in.
So it's not so much about trying to predict the future, but rather trying to really stay engaged in the present and understand what's happening, which, by the way, is moving so quickly that the future comes up pretty fast. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And
so how do you do that? How would you recommend, as a behavior science, staying in that present and really understanding what is happening now? What are some of the ways that you can do that?
You were asking, well, what's different about now? And I think what's different is that we have a lot of information available to us. There's a lot of the activity which is now done, as we both know, in a research agency, is collected via online. Online data collection will be absolutely critical to understanding what is happening here. And I think there's all sorts of things which we can do there in terms of from a qualitative understanding, which is like extremely important to get to the nuance of those different psychological dimensions and behaviors. Then the use of digital ethnography, the use of online communities, those are the kind of things, or just, you know, good old fashioned having a Skype or even a telephone conversation with people. And I've seen some really powerful ways in which just even so far that has been used, in the use of user generated films to sort of give a sense of the reality of the situation on the ground in different parts of the world, I think has been immensely important. The point is, so in a sense, the point is less about what are the data collection methods and more about what I would say is how do we make sense of them. And so I would say that having some kind of framework of understanding, an analysis framework, which we can then apply to that. If people are here and these are the issues, then here's some guidance as to what you do about it.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're right. It's emotional, right? Because there's just all these changes happening. But we were talking this morning about the inundation of information, and there's just everybody's just trying to get your attention in the midst of the swirl of just the, you know, the scariness, if you will, and the uncertainty. It's a difficult thing to try to, you know, just wrestle down in some way. So I think your idea of models and you know, ways of analyzing things can really be helpful.
Yeah, I so in my view, I feel like the our core psychology doesn't change. You know, mm-hmm. how we go about navigating the world and adapting to circumstances, you know, that doesn't change. The circumstances change, and the way in which we apply ourselves changes. And so therefore, you know, the one thing we can be confident in is, look, we know humans, but also not only that, but to link it through to, okay, and this is what we need to do. I feel like this is the point at which behavioral science really needs to be and is, I hope, coming to the fore as a way of helping us make sense of this.
It could definitely be your time to do that, for sure. Colin, thank you so much. This has really been, you know, in the times that we are in, I think it was really important to hear the perspective of a behavioral scientist. I think that this perspective has been very, very
great.
Helpful.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, April. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning into this episode of Insight Out. Be sure to hit subscribe on your latest podcasting app to make sure that you'll get all of our latest episodes delivered directly to you.